back to Quiver the Green Arrow podcast. It's been quite a while, but we're back. I am one of your hosts, Michael Cohen.
And I'm your other host, Amanda Konkin.
This is this is a special preseason 3 mailbag episode. You guys have been sending in so many emails and talking so much on the Facebook group that we figured
people want to talk about Arrow before the show actually comes.
So we thought we'd just jump into the mailbag and see what you guys think about season 3 and how excited you are.
Awesome.
And it's been a while since we've done a podcast, so it's just nice to get back into the swing of it.
In fact, Jonathan sent us an email saying that specific thing, going, with the new season almost here, are there any plans for a preseason podcast, he was asking. So I feel like this is almost directly responding to Jonathan.
Yes.
So it's good. Well, I mean, and other people, but
yes,
he hopes that we had a good hiatus, and I hope that he had a good hiatus as well.
Did we have a good hiatus?
Did we? I think so. I got to go on vacation, so that was fun for me.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
The best part about being on vacation was coming back after all of the episodes had premiered for a lot of the shows I watch.
And just being able to watch them
all at the same time. It was pretty fantastic.
That's fair.
So that is what I think was maybe the best part about being away, is coming back to television. Because I just love it so much.
Yeah. This TV season, let's kind of start there. I don't know. Do we have any emails talking about Gotham?
If we have so many posts talking about Gotham on the Facebook group.
Let's address the elephant in the DC TV series room. Mm. And have you watched it yet?
I did. Yeah. I watched the first episode.
It's terrible.
It's a procedural with Batman references.
No, it's not a procedural. It's not. Okay. Because there was nothing it might end up being somewhat procedural, but it's very mythology based. Yeah. The first episode. My wife Crystal and I watched it the night that it aired because I was really excited because obviously Gotham and I love Ben McKenzie. Before we started recording, we were just talking. Tim, who does all of our news on the website, is from Chino, which is notable because Ben McKenzie's character Ryan from the OC is from Chino, so that's the only reason why Amanda and I know where Chino is.
Yeah, it's good.
So I love Ben McKenzie. I've loved him since the OC, and I think that he's a really talented actor who hasn't quite gotten the attention that he deserves yet. So I was really excited for Gotham, right? Despite all of the reasons to be very, very worried. the fact that Bruce Wayne as a kid is in it, right?
Yeah.
And the kid that's playing Bruce Wayne, great actor.
I actually kind of want it to be about him and Alfred.
Little bit, right? I don't like their Alfred. He's a little bit too mean. He was kind of a bit of a jerk in the first episode. But, I wanted so badly for it to be good and for it to be a cool, interesting story about Jim Gordon and Gotham City and the police department and everything. Yeah. And then the first episode is just them walking two steps and somebody going, I'm a famous character from the Batman universe.
That's exactly what it is,
I mean,
but do you feel like that was just because it was the pilot and they had to be in case you were wondering, this is a Batman show.
I don't know, because I haven't watched the second episode yet, but I also haven't heard anything good from anybody about the second episode, except for the same people who were saying that they liked the first episode.
Right.
So, people are falling into two camps.
Right.
People who love Batman so much that they will consume anything that is remotely related to Batman.
I'm guilty of that with Superman.
and then people who actually have taste. So... it's pretty bad. People keep saying, I wish that they could just do a good Batman TV series nowadays. To which I have been replying, they are. It's called Arrow.
Yeah.
It's a better Batman series than the series that's apparently about Batman, right?
Oh my gosh, it's so true.
Because Arrow is doing everything that I think that we would want a Batman TV series to be doing.
Yeah.
It's just that it's Oliver Queen instead of Bruce Wayne, which means that it has its own idiosyncrasies related to that character and some of his Rogues Gallery. But obviously. I mean, we can't beat around the bush on it. They're borrowing so many Batman villains.
Because they have to, because people don't know a lot of Green Arrow.
If it was just the Clock King and Captain Boomerang, I think people would be a little bit annoyed by now.
But so I think that that's what Arrow does really well. And I just realized Diggle's totally Alfred, and that's awesome.
Yeah, he's kind of Alfred. He's kind of Kato.
From Green Hornet, right?
Like, he's a lot of characters put together. He is, I think every superhero needs to have that sidekick that's not a sidekick, right? That's like their equal, but that's kind of detached from it.
Yeah.
And I think Oliver never had that character in the comics, to my recollection. Somebody might be able to correct me. But they needed to create that, so they created Diggle. Right? And he fills that role perfectly. So yeah, in the same way that Alfred is the guy who hangs out at the Batcave and like when Batman comes back, he's like, he basically says to him like, I think you're going a little bit too hardcore about this. You need to sleep tonight. And so that Oliver or Batman can be like, no, I have to, I am the knight, and go out and punch things. But I think that Diggle is still very much his own character.
Yeah.
Right. So although like there's a shred there that's very inspired by that type of character.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of characters have that Alfred Diggle.
Yeah.
The Iron Man had Jarvis and eventually Jarvis became that character for the whole Avengers team.
Yeah.
So like there's lots of characters like that all throughout comics history. But
so I don't think Gotham's going anywhere because I feel like people will watch it. Is the thing.
Oh, absolutely. Like, it's very much like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's kind of too big to fail.
Yeah, yeah.
So even if it is really bad for these first 6 or 7 episodes that they've already filmed, I think that it's safe to say that the writers are reading the internet.
Yeah.
They know what we're saying about it. They know the criticisms. And I think what you'll see is around January, a very, very, very large tonal shift
in the whole
series, just like we saw with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
And you know what? You have to wonder what part of that is that they have a certain mandate when they've been greenlit for a Batman show that they have to be fulfilling, that I don't understand when these suits are going to realize that it's actually more important that they listen to fans and they actually start, like...
You know, it doesn't matter what industry you're in or what the job is or who your target demographic is. The people who sit in the executive's position are thinking about money
because
that's their jobs, and we shouldn't fault them for it
because
without them, Arrow doesn't get made, Gotham doesn't get made, none of these shows ever get made. But that's what they're looking at. They're looking at the finances. They're trying to figure out, you know, is this going to make money? Can we pump this, plug this into our calculators
and
see a nice black number at the end of the tunnel,
right?
But the key to it, and I think as creatives, what being on that side of things, like we are, you know, in our day-to-day jobs as well as, you know, in the side projects that we do, we're always looking at the content.
Yeah.
And saying, like content is king. And there's a reason why that saying exists. And I think what you've got with the team behind Arrow and Flash and now Supergirl, which is super exciting.
Yeah.
I guess that was a bit of a pun, but I didn't mean that. Yeah. Really exciting. You've got a team of producers, writers, and creators that understand that content comes first.
Yeah.
So if you can make a great show, it doesn't matter if you're starting with the Green Arrow. Right? Like, it doesn't matter if that's your character. It doesn't matter if it's the Flash, right? Like, those are two characters that I think most people have... They know who they are, but they don't know anything about
them. Which I actually think is a really positive thing because it means that
perfect.
They don't have to pay, like, lip service to... Right? You can just sort of find this middle ground, which is what you need to do, right? Instead of trying to do something that...
Well, like, I was saying to a lot of people last week when we were talking about Gotham that if you go back and you watch the pilot for Arrow, which I'd have to go back and watch it again, but I'm fairly certain the only wink-wink-nudge-nudge comment in the entire pilot is when he goes into Thea's room and he calls her Speedy.
Right, yeah.
That's the only like... time that it's like that it's meta and it's self-referential.
Yeah.
And the rest of the episode, absolutely, it's making reference to the comics, but it's making reference to the comics in the sense that it is telling the story from the comics
yeah.
in a different way. So yeah. like it's going to pull elements from that,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't like Edward Nygma walking up and
doing a whole bunch of riddles.
Bullock being like, what do you got for us, Ed? And him being like, well, he's like, no riddles, Nygma.
Yeah.
How many times do I have to tell you no riddles?
Yeah, yeah.
And then what does he do? He's like, oh, and then he goes into two riddles immediately.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, Penny Arcade, which is a webcomic, did the perfect dissection of that scene, which is basically that Bullock saying like, no, if I've told you once, I told you a million times, Nygma, no riddles, just give it to us straight. None of them silly, you're always couching everything in a riddle, no riddles, riddle, 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 and then just like a blank panel, and then the last panel of the comic is Bullock looking directly at the screen and pointing at him going, he's the Riddler, you guys. Like,
yeah, that's what it is.
That's what that first episode was like. Yeah. It was just like, oh my god.
Which I don't understand. We know that
it's a Batman
show. But I don't understand who they thought they were making the show for.
Exactly.
Because obviously watching it, we know who these people are.
Exactly.
So, like, anyways, let's move on. Let's talk about Arrow.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So, I mean, but to get that out of the way.
We'll touch base back with Gotham. I'm going to watch it for the first five episodes, just like I did with S.H.I.E.L.D. And as a matter of fact, I haven't given up on S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm.
I'm recording season two. I still have all of season one that I haven't watched. Yeah. On my PVR, and I'm slowly making my way through them because everybody says
it's
that after
watching,
Cap 2, it got
better.
Pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm making my way through it, and I do see what people are saying. I do see where people were coming from. It does seem like it is starting to get a little bit better.
Cool.
But like I said, so those first eight episodes that they had, they'd filmed
before
that first episode hit,
that...
Were done in a vacuum, and then they got all the fan response. And as soon as they came back after the Christmas break, the tonal shift was incredible. Like it's just not totally different show, but very different
you
from
just
those
see
first
that
two
they
episodes.
Really responded
that, yeah,
to
that,
so
that
that's
they
good.
Got it.
Like, I maybe
they
I'll dive
brought
back
characters
into that.
Back and stuff.
I'm looking forward to the Flash.
The Flash is another, but the Flash is kind of a different thing. Now I haven't watched the pilot, neither have you. Other people have watched the pilot because it's kind of been out there on the internet, fairly accessible for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
So this coming Tuesday will be our first times watching it. So we'll, in our first episode back after we've watched it, we'll definitely talk about the Flash.
Maybe we can do a tack on at the end too, where we just talk about the Flash.
Yeah.
We'll figure out how to
do it. But so far, Gotham, we're both really excited for The Flash and obviously for Arrow.
Yeah.
And then there's Constantine and there's iZombie.
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah, iZombie.
Which is another...
Is that different from Zombie Nation that's also coming out?
Yes.
Or did they...
iZombie is based off of a DC comic.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
So,
I just didn't know if they renamed it to Z Nation for some reason.
Yeah, so there's still those two others
that
are kind of out there. People who have seen the Constantine pilot have not had the most favorable things to say about it.
I can't watch it. It's too scary. I don't like ghosts.
It's too scary. It's no scarier than Supernatural.
But I have a problem. I have a hard time watching Supernatural. I do. I'm still
I just finished last season of Supernatural on like Sunday.
Oh really? I'm still in the middle
Maybe even Tuesday,
In the middle of it. It's scary. I can't watch so many episodes at a time.
Okay.
So we'll see. We'll see about Constantine. There's other stuff. Oh man, I'm watching Outlander. It's sort of fantasy and sort of it's great. It's so good.
I don't think Outlander is for me.
Okay. Yeah, well that's fine. Fair enough. It's really good.
It's like it's period. Right?
Yeah. It exists because Game of Thrones exists, right? Like, why else would you like put a decade old?
So
book?
It's like Rain, but with
it's
fantasy.
It's like Rain, except with the fantasy is barely there. It's basically like it's a trope to get her into the past. that there's just happens to be time travel.
I'm sorry, what? So nope, it's... you lost me. I'm done. I'm done. I'm out. I'm done. So it's a girl from today.
It's a girl from the 50s.
From the 50s.
Yeah, because it's an old book.
Oh, okay. I'm like, why does a girl from the... Like, you're dealing with time travel. Why does she have to be from the 50s?
Well, okay. I mean, oh, because she's a World War II nurse. So when she goes back to Scotland, she knows how to deal with, like, really difficult circumstances and be a nurse. Okay. In Scotland.
You know what? Actually, that kind of saves it a little bit, because then at least when the character is in medieval times,
she knows what she's doing, the ability
to deal with.
So that's why she's okay. Anyways, okay. It's decent. It's really good, and I just have to say it, and I'll shut up about it again.
Yeah.
But it's really, really revolutionary in terms of the use of the, like, straight female gaze and how it's like how television is starting to cater to that as a particular demographic. They had a really radical episode where, like, the two characters get married and then have a lot of sex. And it was really, really, I think, one of the first times that that's happened in sort of a mainstream television show where it was really... Anyways, it's doing really interesting things, and cool. It only exists, I think, now because of all of the crazy stuff with, like, if Twilight hadn't existed, I don't think they would ever make the show. I don't know, if Game of Thrones hadn't existed, where they started to realize that, like, female audiences are a thing, but you can enjoy it. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's Scotland and fighting and war and all these things, but it just happens that it's a female narrator that they actually, like... It's a female narrator that they look through, so it's really cool. That's cool. Like it. If you're looking for something completely, like, sort of out there, it's on Starz in America, and they air each episode 2 weeks later in Canada on Showcase, which is kind of upsetting, but...
There's a show on Showcase, Dominion, that I really wanted to watch.
Oh, yeah, there's previews for them all the time. Yeah, that seems really cool, too.
It seems like a cool show, and some people...
I haven't seen it yet. There's a lot of real good gems out there. Yeah, there's a lot of gems that are really hidden that I think a lot of really niche networks are starting to find really niche shows, which is really interesting. So, again, we're always open for recommendations. I don't know what everybody else is watching.
Oh, for sure.
But if you have new stuff that is coming out this year... let us know.
The one last new show that I think that we'll talk about, because not all of the new stuff has aired yet, but some has. The one last one that I want to touch on, because we are kind of geek-centric, is Selfie.
Yes, which, I was totally going to say Selfie! Karen Gillan.
Crystal and I watched it last night when it aired, and it's so good.
Oh, I have to watch it today.
It's so
good.
Yeah, you have to watch it.
I was so worried about the concept being, but it's Pygmalion, right? Is that sort of...
I don't know.
Okay.
I didn't go to university, Amanda.
Sorry, no.
I went to film
school. It, like, says in the description of the show that it's, like, an updated Pygmalion.
That still means
it's about,
nothing.
It's about, like, it's Eliza Doolittle. The My Fair Lady is based on Pygmalion. But Pygmalion's the actual good version, My Fair Lady. Like, they go back to the source material rather than the thing that's based on the source material.
Yeah, so it's basically she's that self-obsessed, narcissistic. Yeah.
And is John Chu the, like, Cho, whatever, the, like, other guy, the, like, in it?
He's the guy that's fixing her.
That's awesome. Yeah. I love him.
And their chemistry is so good.
Really? It's
so
awesome.
Good. It plays exactly how you want. Like, where they're very funny together.
Cool.
But there's just that little tiny bit of sexual tension underneath it that you're kind of like, oh, they're never going to. But wouldn't it be great if they did? Right? Which is obviously what we watch a lot of these romantic comedy type shows for. So I really liked it, and I think that you'll really like it. So you should watch it. And
I am.
Next week when we do our first episode,
we'll talk about it.
You should report back.
It'll be good. Exciting.
Yeah, a big deal because it's Sulu and
Amy Pond.
Yeah.
Sulu and Amy Pond. I never thought about that. Yeah. Oh, so awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, anyways. Oh, so much good television. Wow, let's talk about Arrow.
It's a good season this year. There's a lot of really cool shows.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good new stuff. So
Everything's either procedural or aimed at geeks. I feel like it's sort of how things are, like...
Or in the case of Gotham, I guess a procedural aimed at geeks, right? I mean, like, let's be honest. As much as Arrow and Flash are serialized, they also have that procedural freak of the week element
to it at times, so
like they do have that element, but there is way more serialized content, especially Arrow last season was almost serialized from start to finish, right? But
which is awesome.
Cool, let's read another email.
Yay. or at our first email. I didn't really email the last.
Oh, okay.
Or read. I sort of read it.
Oh, as we're recording, Jonathan Spice,
has emailed another thing.
He emailed again.
Nice.
So
he's great. He's been emailing a lot.
Oh, I totally forgot. I should have said this right at the beginning of the episode, but I'll say it now, and then I'll say it again at the end of the episode. Teespring.com/quiverpodcast to get your very own scoff t-shirt.
Yes.
Now, people on the Facebook group, if this is your first time listening to the podcast, I don't know why you haven't listened to all of the older podcasts. You need to go back and listen to everything else. But for those of you who aren't really on the group, but listen to the podcast every week and actually get the reference of Scoff, I finally got off my lazy butt and made the t-shirt design. And if you go to teespring.com/quiverpodcast, you can get one for $15.
Yay.
So I did my best to keep that cost low on it, which is one of the reasons why it took so long. Like, I looked at all these different places, like Society 6 and Cafe Press, and doing them myself, and then just selling them to you guys over the internet. But then Teespring kind of popped up in my Twitter feed from somebody else doing something, and I checked it out, and I was like, this is perfect. So the way that it works is that we set a sales goal of a number of t-shirts that we want to sell. Our goal is 30.
Mm-hmm.
We're at 14 right now. If we hit 30, those t-shirts will be made.
Yeah.
And in order, the reason why we had to do 30 is because that kept the cost down to $15 a t-shirt. And we're making like $2 or $3 a shirt. So it, trust me, we're not getting rich off of this.
We've paid way more in hosting fees than we will ever get back from this podcast.
But I mean, when we initially came up with the idea of the Scoff t-shirt, people were really interested. So if you're hearing about this for the first time now, you have until the 15th of October to get the shirt. And then the campaign's over, because it's kind of like Kickstarter in that way. We're like, it get runs it for 21 days and then it's done. But,
and if you haven't listened to the podcast and you don't get it, and you realize how awesome me and Mike are, and you're going to go listen to all the podcasts, you're going to feel really bad missing out on it.
Yeah.
And I do, we have to tell you what the inside joke is.
Yeah.
It's because we watch with the closed caption on as we go through and recap the episodes, and Detective Lance scoffs all the time. So it's sort of our little homage to Paul Blackthorne.
Yeah.
And it's kind of an inside joke because we're an audio podcast, so we listen to the audio.
So, I mean, and to help us, it would be wonderful if you guys tweeted at Paul Blackthorne.
Right, yeah.
To tell him about the shirt that is in his honor.
Yeah.
So that, you know, maybe he'll give us a shout out.
He's done that before. He totally knows we exist.
Yeah.
But we haven't actually followed through with anything for Paul Blackthorne.
We followed through, but he's a busy guy. So it's difficult to get a hold of some of these people through Twitter and Facebook. We were lucky with Stephen Amell because he kind of sought us out.
Yeah, which is awesome.
Which meant that, I mean, he asked you guys and you guys
told us.
Told him,
which, again, if this is the first podcast you're listening to, go listen to our Stephen Amell podcast. It's really awesome.
Yeah.
So we podcast people on the Facebook group
that
are there talking about everything.
The Facebook group has more people on it than the Facebook page.
Yeah.
But there are more downloads for every episode. Then there are Facebook page or Facebook group
which
people.
Is nice. So people are listening.
So we know that you guys are out there listening and that there's a lot of crossover, but there's also a lot of people on that group that have no idea that it's a podcast, even though it's right in the title.
Yeah. Which is awesome. So next email, we won't just tell you how awesome we are. We'll let other people tell you how awesome we are in some of these emails.
Okay, sounds good.
They were really awesome emails from new people. So I want to read, do you want to read this one from Chris?
Sure.
Yeah. So Chris sent us an email called New Listener.
Okay. Hey guys, I used to be a big podcast listener, and my favorite was Starkville's House of L. That's one of my favorite podcasts too, because that's the first podcast that I listened to. That and the Forcecast back in the day. After Smallville ended, I was left with only Geek Out Loud, and then Steve decided to step away, and I could not find anyone nearly as interesting to listen to, and slowly lost all interest in podcasts. That's really sad.
I know, right?
I'm going to tell Steve that so that like he knows. Yesterday, my boss sent me on a last-minute 6-hour road trip to San Francisco. so I decided to see if I could find a podcast to listen to pass the time, and was excited to see Geek Out Loud had been back for quite a while. Yeah. Steve only stepped away for like 6 months, I think. Maybe a year. Let's see. So I browsed through the episodes and selected the first one I saw with Star Wars in the description. The guest for this episode was Mike, and I thought you were great, and I enjoyed the entire episode. Well, thank you. When you plugged the Quiver podcast, I was interested, but thought getting my hopes up, because so many podcasts fall far short of what I became accustomed to from my days of laughing out loud to hours of Steric. Steric is Steve and Derek. Which Chris should be excited, because Starkville Labs is their new podcast and a sister podcast to Quiver that will be covering Flash. Yeah. So between that and the Flash podcast, you guys are totally covered for Flash podcast.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And all Flash news and stuff. Let me see where I lost my point. So with much skepticism, I started streaming episode 1 and was so surprised at the quality right off the bat, and the whole part about having to record twice because you didn't hit record the first time took me back to the times it happened to Steve. During my trip, I listened to 4 episodes of Quiver, and I streamed another this morning, and I loved every one. You guys are doing a great job, and I can't wait to catch up with you guys. Luckily, I have lots of time to do it before the next season, so I can go in order and not need to rush. Awesome. Having hindsight, it's funny hearing you guys call Laurel Dinah, and can't wait to get to your reactions when Sarah shows back up. Thank you both so much for putting out a great podcast. And that's from Chris. So thank you, Chris. That's an awesome ringing endorsement. Like I said, Starkville House of L is one of the first podcasts I ever listened to, so it's one of the reasons why I have a podcast. So when you compare us to them, to Steve and Derek, that's the best possible comparison I can get, because that's kind of who I model all of this after.
And it's cool. I mean, and we have a lot of listeners because of your connections with your other podcasts that you've got, right? So going on Geek Out Loud with your Star Wars podcasts.
Yeah, I know we've got a lot of crossover from the Geek Out Loud crew, as well as, you know, Frontlines, the Clone Wars podcast, and the Rebels podcast people.
You can listen to Mike everywhere.
Yeah, and on the Pullbox podcast. That's my newest podcast, which I don't think I've really plugged that much on Quiver.
You plugged it like a ton in the last couple episodes.
Probably, yeah, because we were getting ready to go. Yeah. But yeah, if you haven't listened to that, you should check it out.
And you read comics.
Pullboxpodcast.com.
Yay, do that.
Cool. Do you want to read another email?
I sure can. Someone sent us something with a header called Showworthy Email, so that we would know to go through and read it. It was really, really long, though, and so this is from Mark Randolph. Oh, I wanted to call him Rudolph, but I didn't. I'm not gonna. It's Randolph.
Okay, but you kind of just did.
I know, sorry. Anyways, he sort of says to condense a little bit, so I'll go through and sort of... Basically, he's just talking about... The season itself. So he goes, "Hey, fellow Arrowheads, the name is Mark. Thanks, Mike, for the tweet with the email." So if you don't know, we're both on Twitter, and people tweet us and talk about things, and I think Mark asks where you could get a hold of us, which is mail@quiverpodcast.com. So then Mark obviously emailed in.
Which, for all the people who always request that I put it on the Facebook page, it's on the Facebook page. If you click the about, it's on the Facebook page. It's right there. It's not on the website, but it's on the Facebook page. I don't know why you go to the website to look for it.
It's all good.
I guess it should be on
the website. It should be on the website. Anyways, he says, "First off, let me say I love the podcast a lot." A lot is capitalized. Steven has seriously made me like Green Arrow more than Batman, and that's saying a lot because I'm a huge Batman fan. Which is really great. I just want to comment on what Mark is saying. Steven is doing amazing things on his social media right now, and it's just absolutely unprecedented, I think.
He makes it fun to be a fan.
Yeah.
And I think that you can't discount that.
Yeah.
That effect that it has on the quality of the show. Because when you have that, you know what? I'll liken it to Tom Cruise. And Tom Cruise before he jumped on couches and went crazy. I love Tom Cruise today.
There's a really good article that debunks that. Yes. Read the article. Yes. Anyways.
Oprah made him get up on the couch. Yes, I know. And the media totally. But I'm just saying.
Yeah.
The public opinion of Tom Cruise before all of the Katie Holmes Scientology stuff. I think Steven has that part of it figured out. That you're in people's homes on a regular basis,
mm-hmm.
and that means that people form a relationship,
yeah,
whether you want them to or not,
yeah,
right. And I think there's a few actors over you know the decades of mm-hmm. Hollywood that mm-hmm. have really understood that,
mm-hmm.
and I think that Steven's definitely one of them. But like when I say Tom Cruise, mm-hmm. he's one of those people that he always makes time for his fans. He goes out of his way to do cool stuff. Johnny Depp's another one where mm-hmm. he does so many great things, like mm-hmm. dressing up as Jack Sparrow and visiting kids in the hospital.
Oh yeah, yeah.
All sorts of. He did that at one point. He went to a kid's classroom because he was filming one of the movies, yeah. like. That kind of attitude, mm-hmm. Chris Pratt's another one because he's been doing that with the awesome. Star-Lord yeah. costume, which yeah. if you haven't watched Guardians of the Galaxy, see, by the way.
You live on Mars.
Yeah, but go see it, you dumb. that's warranted because it's the best movie of the summer. But Steven has that figured out. He mm-hmm. knows that connecting with his fans enriches the experience across the board. It makes us bigger fans of him, which makes us bigger fans of Arrow,
mm-hmm.
which means that we like Arrow more, which means that we like him more, so we become bigger fans of him.
Yeah, it's
like
really awesome.
It's a really, and the thing is that you can't do that when it's disingenuous.
Yeah,
it doesn't work.
Yeah,
right. It has to be totally sincere. Mm-hmm. And Steven over the summer coined his new term sincerously.
Yeah.
And I think that wraps up, like that encapsulates the whole mm-hmm. way that he deals with his fans.
Yeah.
That sincerely is like he loves his fans.
Yeah.
And he is 100% sincere and genuine. And it shows in the things that he does
and it's super,
with us.
Yeah. And it's super cool. Like you knew that like as he was becoming an actor, he knew exactly what he wanted as an actor, and this is everything that he wanted. And I think it's really cool.
Yeah.
So in the middle of Mark's email, no, it's okay, totally, because this is an email I think that we're just going to comment on the whole time. He continues on, over the summer, I got the urge to rewatch season one on Netflix and listen to the podcast with every episode because I wanted to catch up on the backlog since I started listening to the show as of Stephen Amell's episode. So that's, to us is that, like, we podcasted with each episode, we go through and give commentary on all the episodes. And I know a lot of people joined us after we did the Stephen Amell interview. So that obviously is Mark as well. So I'm glad you caught up. I hope a lot of other people are catching up as well. My first comment to you guys is that I'm really surprised as to how accurate you guys were for your predictions.
So are we.
Yeah, we're very surprised. But he also laughed out loud at some of your thoughts that being on the verge of season three and knowing the story so far and knowing your guys' death lists were way off, especially with somewhat wishing death on Walter. We wished a lot of death on Walter, unfortunately.
Just to be clear, every time we said that Walter was going to die,
we hoped he didn't.
We said, like, we really hope he doesn't because he's a great character. Yeah. But it just seems like they're setting up him up to die. But I think what's also important in that is that we were wrong because the writers are so good.
Yeah.
Right? And they've sort of bucked those tropes.
Yeah, which is
every
so awesome.
Every time that they can. And people who we never thought would die, like Tommy,
died.
And people who we thought were gone for sure are still around.
Yeah.
And it's just like, how? What? I don't understand.
Right? I remember that. I remember the first couple episodes that we ever did of Quiver, we were really like, is this show good or is it not?
Yeah.
And we couldn't figure out, but it's good. They've done amazing things. He goes on to say here about what really made him write in was that in episode 22 we were talking about the woman with the legs and the red shoes. So obviously back then, if we hadn't seen past season one, of course you would think it was Moira. But when I saw it immediately, I knew it was Amanda Waller, which means that's how she knew Oliver was on the island and how she found him in China and how from day one of being on the island, Argus was at the root of it all and it wasn't really the undertaking per se connected as you predicted. So it's sort of this interesting that they did put that little egg in earlier. This will also bring into light that Amanda should have known who Deathstroke was in season two, since she knew he was on the island with Oliver and how his mask looked, but I'll let it go. Is sort of his other comment there.
That's fair.
Would also think she would have known he survived as well, but now I'll let it go. Speaking of Deathstroke, I also think that they wasted the character of Firefly too early due to the fact that superpowers are now in the show. They could have been done with the whole jetpack.
That's true.
Firefly but it's just his own thought. Now, this is actually interesting. I wanted to jump in here. They've actually had a comment saying that they're going to go away from the superpowers and back into more grounded stuff. Yeah. So it's not necessarily the case. I think Flash will deal with powers in a way that Arrow won't necessarily. Yeah. So that's sort of an interesting segue there. Anyways, very cool. So he says, Mike, be proud of yourself for your very early prediction that Ra's al Ghul will be a villain. So, yeah, I was shocked to see how much you guys disliked Felicity so much in the beginning, which I don't remember disliking Felicity.
I don't know that we... I don't know.
Maybe it was, like, shocking. We were, like, didn't know what they were going to do with her, I think, was the big thing in the beginning. And I think...
I'd have to go back and listen, because I don't know that we necessarily disliked Felicity.
I think we just didn't know what they were going to do with her. They sort of threw in this, like, character that was, like, blonde and...
I know we definitely are not into the Olicity aspect of things, but we'll talk about that.
Yeah. Anyways, he says he also listens to Frontlines from episode one.
Excellent.
Which is awesome.
Glad to
hear that. So thanks, Mark. That's awesome. He ends by going, Arrowhead for life. So he says. So I'm like, yay, go Arrowheads.
That's good. I hope he's bought his t-shirt.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We need to make a Stay Sharp Arrowheads t-shirt. Maybe that's our next one.
That's
on the list.
No, the next one is Thea's pants.
Oh yeah.
Because I gotta go through all of our original ideas.
So, yes.
Once we're done with the scoff shirt, probably towards Christmas, we'll do another Teespring campaign, where we'll do. I've got a design. I can't remember who emailed me. I know whoever it was is listening. Might have been Daniel Rumor.
Don't guess wrong.
I don't remember. It might have been Doug. It was somebody.
Okay.
Somebody emailed me and had gone through, because I had asked for somebody to go through.
And list all the t-shirts
and list all of the colors of Thea's pants.
Oh, right, yeah.
For every episode in season one, so that I could do like the 23 sort of like in a grid.
Right.
So I have that email somewhere.
Nice.
And I just need to dig it back up and then design that. And I'm going to do it. Now that I've found Teespring, you guys are going to see lots of t-shirt designs popping up. Yeah. So.
And be super nerdy. Listen to the first episode of Quiver, and then have your very own really super niche shirts that only listeners of Quiver get.
As I said when we launched the campaign, you can own a t-shirt that is a reference to a podcast that is about a TV show based on a comic book. Okay? That's as geeky as it gets. Yeah. Like, no one can ever take your geek cred away once you've spent that $15. It's the best $15 you'll ever spend.
Awesome. Okay, you can go with the next. Do we want to do another email?
Yeah, sure.
Awesome. I kind of want to talk about Fliggles. Do you want to read Tanya's email?
Sure. I gotta find that one. Okay. Mike and Amanda, this spring I relocated from my home state of Pennsylvania to Virginia, where for the first time my job has a commute long enough to enjoy podcasts. I found yours just after season 2 ended, and I was looking for a podcast about my favorite show. One episode and I was hooked, and you two have accompanied me on my morning and evening commute every day since.
That's cool.
That's incredible, because there's only 50 episodes so far. you must have listened to a lot of them twice. Listening to past episodes was especially fun, because I already knew which of your speculations would actually come to pass, and which of your predictions were accurate. Your enthusiasm about the show renewed my own as well, and I was so excited that you got to interview Stephen Amell up close and personal. So were we. Here's hoping Paul Blackthorne or John Barrowman will get on board too.
Oh my god,
John Barrowman would just be us sitting in front of a camera, just like staring at John Barrowman. And I'd probably in the email have to say prepare a monologue or some songs or something, because we're really not going to have a lot of questions. We're just going to kind of stare at you.
Yeah.
But that would be wonderful. Awesome. And if you guys want to inundate John Barrowman with all sorts of emails,
he's gonna be like back now like a lot.
He's a regular. He's a regular this awesome. Season, which means that he is.
He's living in Vancouver. You can run into him at like the coffee store.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Also know that I'm a pretty hardcore Fliggle shipper, and have been since season one, regardless of Elicity's sexual tension. The end of season two kind of screwed that up, but in my head, it's still Feligl all the way. So Feligl is the only dream that I have for this show. Like, I don't care. They can do whatever else they want. I mean, we have our prediction of end of season five, Oliver dies, beginning of season six, jump forward and he's back time. And everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we find out what happened in the 5 years that he was dead or whatever.
Yeah.
But the only like dream and hope that I have for this show is Feligl.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that preview for season three is kind of pointing in the other direction. But
it's just they're gonna be so terrible.
It's a fake out.
Together.
It's a fake out.
I know.
It's a
and
fake
they
out.
Always like. But, like, this is the thing
first
I don't understand.
First prediction for season three. It's a fake.
It is. So this is what
real.
I want to comment on Tanya, where she says that the end of season two kind of screwed that up. Yeah. No, in the end of season two, it made me go, the writers know exactly what they're doing by playing on the Felicity, like, Oliver tension.
Yeah.
By purposely showing us that they're not going to be together. I don't know. You know what? I just... If they're going to be together, they should be together and just get it over with and then go back to, like, reality. Because...
It did feel like the end of season two... was sort of like closing the book on it.
Yeah, I completely thought they closed the book on it in that by going, it's so clearly obvious that these two are not going to be together.
Yeah. And then also by getting rid of Sarah and sort of the leather jacket going to Laurel, as much as I'm not keen on that because I really like Sarah as Black Canary, although she's coming back. We're going to see her again.
Yeah.
But, I think that all signs point to those two characters being romantically entwined eventually. Right?
I just think, like, I don't know. I just, like, the spectrum of love, I feel like Felicity and Oliver are on that. They're just not...
It's not,
I just
really
don't want them to sleep together.
Romantic.
And, like, it's such, like, a weird thing. I just, like...
I do think that what they're gonna do is they're, like, if the end of season two didn't put some finality to it.
Yeah.
I think that the beginning of season three is going
They're going to.
That's my first prediction
because,
is that it's going to be Oliver. Because we've said in the description for season, for the premiere or whatever, they've said basically that over the summer that Oliver has basically cleaned up Starling City and everything's awesome now and he's really good at being a superhero and so is Roy and like they got it figured out and everything's cool, so he decides, oh, I can have a relationship, but then everything's gonna come crashing down around him in the first episode. So the whole thing of him going on a date with Felicity and them having said that says to me he's gonna go on a date with Felicity and they're gonna be like, oh, this is so great, why can't it always be like this, and then the cafe that they're sitting in is going to explode
or something
like that and they're gonna be like, oh yeah, that's right, this is why, because Merlin, because Ra's al Ghul, because you know, whoever the big bad is for this season, which I don't think we've gotten a confirmation on yet. We know a lot of other characters that are going to show up, but and don't discount that. I mean, we've also got, we have Ray Palmer showing up, Brandon Routh as the Atom.
So excited.
And we have other characters that are showing up this season. So I think Wildcat's a character that's showing up.
There's like a whole bunch.
They just, they're in the process of filming, or they just wrapped on filming the crossover episode with The Flash.
So
there's going to be some tension with Barry and Felicity for sure, because we have to revisit that.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't, it's not a done deal. It's not.
I just feel like there are better people in the world for Felicity.
Yes.
Like, it's just one of those things that just because you have two characters on screen that spend a lot of time together does not mean that they're meant to be together. So, it's just like there's just other people that they could throw.
I think that Arrow has been progressive in that aspect of not just having all of the characters romantically linked to one another.
Which is cool.
And having those relationships be more natural and more realistic, where it's not just, it's not Smallville. It's not the OC or 90210 where eventually everybody's gonna date everybody.
Yeah.
Right. So
I'm just holding on to those little Feligl moments where she comes out and brings him coffee
in her pajamas.
Car.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
It's just so good. Anyways,
that moment is so perfect.
It's just
that is the dream of Feligl encapsulated in one scene so far.
Maybe.
So it's gonna happen. It's gonna happen. I guarantee it.
Yeah.
So let me just finish off this email. Thanks for a great podcast. I'm all caught up as of 2 weeks ago. This email's from quite a while ago. But
it's like August 20. Oh, I guess I missed all of September.
yeah, it is October today. Jeez. And I can't wait for the new season to start so I can listen to more episodes. 1 week as of tonight, as of recording. Since Arrow doesn't seem to be into audio commentaries on the Blu-rays, you provide a great commentary service. Keep up the fantastic work. Hope you two are having a great summer, which I think we both had pretty good summers. Yeah. Tanya in Virginia Beach. So thank you so much for all of the kind words, for all that great stuff. You know, we don't get enough hate mail.
I know, I know.
To keep us humble. All we get is the emails that tell us how awesome we are.
I mean, I like that people call us on our, like, crazy things that we
comment on. Yeah, I love that people tell us when we've been completely 100% wrong, because it happens a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is also nice that people just kind of love us.
Yeah, it's great. It's cool that, so I posted before we started recording. This is, like, the coolest thing, I feel like, when our group has gotten big enough that you can post something and then have comments to it almost instantaneously.
Yes.
Is really cool. So I posted on the Facebook group that we are doing this preseason podcast, and we've gotten a bunch of comments, which is kind of cool. So before we read another email, let's just like jump, because these are easy to just respond to right away.
Sure.
The first one, did you all have a nice summer, from Alicia? And we already answered that. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. There was a lot of geeky things this summer, the movies that I watched.
It was an awesome summer of the movies. So let's do that. Let's talk about our summer this way. Top five movies you saw this summer.
Oh my goodness.
In no particular order, just top five movies you saw this summer.
Well, I can't remember. I saw a bunch of plays. I can't remember all the movies. But okay. Guardians of the Galaxy, I saw like a gajillion times.
Yeah.
I watched the Lego Movie, actually, which I hadn't seen before. I watched a bunch of movies on the
plane. It was a very Chris Pratt summer
for me. It was a very Chris Pratt summer for me. I really liked X-Men
Days of Future Past. Okay.
I really liked that, that actually. I watched it a couple times. Oh wait, was Captain America this year?
Yeah. Well, it was back in April.
It was back in April.
So it was still when we were.
Oh, it was, not quite summery, but I really liked that. It's hung in my head.
Yeah, Cap was really good.
It was good. I don't really remember. I didn't go see a ton of stuff, I don't think, this summer. Maybe I'm probably totally lying and saw like a bunch of stuff. But I saw Guardians of the Galaxy like three times.
I skipped a lot of movies this summer.
Yeah,
now that I think about it.
Yeah.
But let's see.
I didn't see Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
No, neither did I. And I'm very proud of you for not having seen it. And any of you listeners out there that avoided that monstrosity and instead have chosen to read the comic and watch the TV show, I applaud you.
Cool.
Let's see. Guardians of the Galaxy is my number one, above all. But Dawn of the Planet of the Apes was fantastic. Godzilla was fantastic. Let's see what else was there.
I didn't watch Godzilla. I should
watch
that.
I'm trying to look at the Blu-rays over there on my shelf that I've already bought
from other stuff.
Let me think about movies that I saw. I said to do top five, and now I can't come up with five.
I watched television a lot.
What are the animated movies that came out over the summer? Kids movies, because I know I saw a couple. Oh, How to Train Your Dragon 2 was fantastic.
Oh.
It was really, really good.
I hear that.
It made me, it reminded me how much I liked the first one, so I went back and watched the first one again. And then I just watched something, like, on demand recently that was so good, and I'm forgetting what
you
it was.
Can't remember what it is?
And it's like, it's one of those movies that I want everybody to see. And I don't remember what it was.
I feel like...
And that's driving me insane. Because it was one of those ones that, like, I finally got around to seeing it because I wanted to see it in theaters but didn't.
Right.
And I can't remember what it was. It'll come to me.
It'll come to you. There's a bunch of stuff coming out, like The Giver and all of those ones that are of other shows.
What are your feelings on the trailer for Mockingjay?
It looks good. I feel like they're gonna do it right.
Okay. Do it right for me.
Mm-hmm.
No spoilers. Okay. But do it right for me means changing stuff that was in the books.
Oh, okay. Well, then.
Right? Not being 100% faithful.
Interesting.
Because if you're 100% faithful, I'm gonna be disappointed by those movies.
Okay, fair enough.
Because it's broken into two.
Yeah.
Part one and part two.
Yeah.
Man, that's really driving me nuts that I can't think of the other
I can
movie.
Google it for you. I can't. I've seen a bunch of stuff on demand recently, didn't I?
I
Otherwise,
watched a
Netflix.
bunch of movies in one day. I mean, last weekend I watched Wolf of Wall Street, which was
Is
fantastic.
it actually good?
It's so good. You
Nice.
have to be in the mood for like an off-the-wall weird comedy about debaucherous
Okay, yeah. I just feel like it's where it,
stockbroker
yeah.
type guy, but
Yeah.
if you are in the mood for that, and if you like Leonardo DiCaprio, oh, Django
Oh,
Unchained, I finally
and
watched, and
so did
it was
I. It was really
so
good.
good,
I watched
so
that.
good. Tarantino's
Divergent
best
is awesome.
movie.
Was Divergent this year? Because
Yes.
I like the books though.
Yeah.
For Divergent, and I thought they did a really good job with it. A bunch of
Or,
Shailene Woodley. Obviously, The Fault in Our Stars I really liked.
I still haven't seen it. I can't believe I
Really?
haven't seen
Oh
it, but I haven't seen
man,
it because Crystal and
because
I want to watch it
it's
together.
like it's the book, and I
Yeah.
think they did like a great job of being able to just put the book on.
My problem is that they're never gonna make my favorite John Green book into a movie.
Which
They're
is what?
never gonna make Abundance of Catherines into a
Really?
movie.
I don't know. Yeah. Next one is Paper Towns, right?
Yeah, because Paper Towns is super depressing and angsty, and they
Oh,
can market the crap out of it. But
okay.
Abundance of Catherines is just like Abundance of Catherines is about being a kid in the summer, right?
Oh,
Like
yeah, that's
not like a
cool.
kid, but like a
Like a
teenager,
teenager.
like a young
Yeah,
adult
yeah,
in the summer. And reading that book, listening to the audiobook, I should say,
yeah.
was I. It was the same experience as my favorite summer growing up between
Nice.
grade 10 and 11,
Sweet.
right? So
Well,
like
there you go.
it
It's just
puts me
that.
into that mindset and puts me right back there, like
It's
the
awesome.
best summer of my
Awesome.
life. And but they'll never make it. They'll never make it into a movie.
Yeah,
It's
you
just
never know.
upsetting to me.
You never know. Was it Maleficent?
No, it wasn't
No.
Maleficent. I still haven't seen that.
Maleficent was okay.
Was it good?
Well, I don't like that you have to have a villain. Because the thing is, obviously, if Maleficent isn't the villain, they have to
They
make
turn the
a.
king
They
into the
turn the
villain, right?
king into a villain. And I'm like, okay, fine. But it's like, it's good. It's interesting. It's a new take on it. I
Yeah.
think that Angelina did a great job. Or it was like in a new way of telling that story, which I think is cool. So that was good. You know what movie didn't suck? And I don't want to say this, it's not geeky at all, but Blended didn't suck as much as I saw for free on the plane. And it was like, I
I'm giving
know,
Amanda eyes of judgment right
I
now.
know. I didn't say anything aside from the fact that it didn't suck.
Okay.
Okay. I
I'm
was
sorry,
saying
but
because,
Adam Sandler's lost stock with
yeah,
me in the last few
he's
years.
very problematic, and his movies are problematic, and a lot of things are problematic about him. I don't know. It was like a family thing. It was like a
Yeah.
family. I think he had to be like, let's watch
Dang.
out.
I know
Anyways.
that like one of the movies that I'm trying to think of is
Amazing
like a
Spider-Man 2.
family movie. I still haven't seen Amazing
And I
Spider-Man
also
2.
watched that on the plane too.
Yeah.
Again, not as bad as I thought it was gonna be,
Yeah.
because I went into it again with like
With
all
low
of the
expectations.
with low expectations.
Like I said, I skipped a lot of movies. I
You
also didn't
did.
watch Transformers.
I didn't watch Transformers either. I don't really have
I'm not
any
given
desire
movies.
to.
I'm not giving movies that I don't think are worth money my money,
Oh, there you go.
right?
Did you see
So,
Noah?
no.
I didn't see that either. What about oh wait, Hercules, did that come out? I didn't actually watch that.
Yes, it did. I didn't see that, but I want to.
There's so
I'm gonna
many.
watch it when it's on
Anyways,
demand
we're
or
just
whatever.
talking about
Yeah.
movies now. We'll go back to
Yeah, let's jump back into
Oh,
those
and how upset
comments.
am I that Jake Gyllenhaal is in a movie called Nightcrawler? I'm like, oh, so cool. It's about some like random, like he's like some
You thought it was
psychopath.
like
I
an
thought it was
X-Men
like
movie?
Nightcrawler. I was very disappointed. That was like my big disappointment that happened over
That's
the
hilarious.
yeah. Anyways, so that's how our summer went. There was a lot of not movie watching and a lot of movie watching, and I went away. I went to England for a bit, which is awesome, and I got to see Martin Freeman, the Hobbit, on stage, like 3 feet away from him, and it was really epic. He was doing Richard III in
Yeah, that's cool.
Trafalgar, so that was really awesome. That was probably one of the highlights of my summer. And then, of course, I watched Book of Mormon, which is hilarious. I don't know if you
I
guys are like
really
theater
want to see
people.
Book of
It
Mormon.
is
I
so worth
wish that I could
watching.
see it.
So worth watching. It's impossible to get tickets to anything, but we just like kept trying to get tickets the whole time. I didn't see Pompeii this summer either. That was something I kind of
No,
wanted to. I don't know.
that was better
But
avoided.
it has Jon Snow in it.
That doesn't make any difference.
Really? There's a lot of things that I will watch Pretty People in that are maybe not the best choice.
I like Kit Harington. I like him as Jon Snow, and I think he's a good actor, but
Yeah.
that's not enough to get me to watch that.
Fair enough.
He is in Seventh Son, which is coming up though, which has Jeff Bridges in it as well.
Oh,
So
Jeff Bridges
when
is
you say
great.
and I think Julianne Moore?
Cool.
I think she's the bad guy in that.
Nice.
So when you put those three things together,
then you'll watch it.
I'm down.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
When you put Jeff Bridges in a movie, I will watch that movie.
Nice.
If there are two people named Jeff that if they read the phone book, I would listen to that. It's Jeff Bridges and Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, Jeff Goldblum. Yes, 100%. So anyways, thanks, Alicia. That was how our summer was. this one, what do you guys think of all the DC shows over various networks leading up to that will overshadow Amel's Arrow? Well, we've already talked about how underwhelming Gotham was. So mm-hmm. I don't think that much will over... I think that Amel will be the forefront of this new generation of DC television shows. I think that he will be the thing that people look to, and I think he will be in a leadership position moving forward, actually. And I think that these shows will help him, because I think people will learn from him and what he's done well, and I think that they'll want to emulate that. So
totally. I think that he's all... You can already kind of tell mm-hmm. that he's mentoring a lot of the members of the cast.
Yeah. Which is Arrow. Cool.
They're kind of following in his footsteps. Yeah.
So that was from Jason.
Yeah.
Jason Logan. So that's what we think. Joshua Reguin, I'm not sure how you say that. But he says, do you think the Lazarus Pit will be introduced or talked about? I don't know. We talked about that a little bit.
It kind of has been because Merlin said when he came back, there are
things that you don't know about. He didn't say Lazarus Pit out loud, but it's sort of implied.
He basically implied that he was dead and he came back.
So whatever the Lazarus Pit, I really think the Lazarus Pit is not a pit so much as a serum or something. Like, I think that there's just like some technology of some kind that I think they could explore. I don't know if they'll do it this year. I don't see a need for them to do it this year. I don't see them bringing Moira back, and it might just be something if they talk about Merlin. But I see them talking, like, it would be a drop in the bucket so that they could then bring Stephen Amell back after year 5 when he gets killed when he dies. So that's that. Jeffrey Abbas asked, do you think Oliver will kill again? And if so, do you think it'll take, what do you think it'll take to push him that far? Which I think is interesting. You said that he's sort of cleaning up the city this year.
Yeah, that's one of the things in the description of the first episode mm-hmm. is that, like, he spent the summer sort of cleaning up mm-hmm. everything and mm-hmm. Being a superhero, basically, right?
And I think that he's stepping into a superhero role. Yeah.
I think that what you'll see is definitely not killing for a while, mm-hmm. but at some point... There's a really famous storyline from recent years where I think it's just after Oliver and Dinah get married,
mm-hmm.
The Green Arrow and the Black Canary get married in the comics, that he kills someone.
Mm.
And like nobody knows about it, and then people find out, and when they find out, like, his whole world falls apart.
Wow.
Because everybody had kind of, like, he'd come to be, I mean, that the Oliver in the comics was sort of always a no-kill type character, but I think that they'll play off of that storyline.
Right.
So I think once that character gets into a really good place where he is tried and true hero, that is when they'll push him and he'll have to do something. He'll have to make a choice that other people won't agree with. And I think what we'll see there, I think once Flash has had a season and maybe Supergirl has had a season and we've got a few more characters like Ray Palmer and a few more Justice League type characters
mm-hmm.
enter the show, there will be a full group of superheroes, sort of their own Justice League, that will be able to then sort of pass judgment on them, right? Like, they have to set those dominoes up before they can knock them down again. Because at this point, if he went back to killing, I don't think that we'd lose very much, because he's really so only close. About a half a season.
Yeah, exactly. So that would, I think it's something they'll hold in their back pocket for a little bit. So there's a lot of other comments on the Facebook wall about movies and things like that. So I don't know. Let's jump back into maybe like one or two more emails.
Sure.
Basically someone emailed about the shirts too, which is great.
Yes.
Saying get your shirt, or that they got their shirt, which is cool. So I want to, this actually might be a good place for us to end. I don't know how long we've been like podcasting for. A really long time.
But we have been going for an hour.
A whole hour.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we'll see. But William DePinto sent us a nice email going, "Hi, my name is Will. I'm a big Arrow fan and I'm a big Quiver fan too. My question is, what are you most looking forward to today in season 3? And P.S. Mike, I love your Frontlines podcast." That's what he says.
Thank you.
Which is great. But so what are you most looking forward to?
Well, being a fan of my Frontlines podcast and I hope also Rebels podcast, I'll use the same line that I always use on those. When people ask me what I want to see in the next season. And that's, I just want surprises.
Mm.
And I know I don't have to ask for that with Arrow, because I know that they're going to do something probably right out the gate to just like a week from tonight, about, you know, an hour and a half ago, probably, Amanda and I will be sitting getting ready to watch the episode and 5 minutes in, we will be going, "What? Yeah. Oh my god, I can't believe they did that 5 minutes into the first episode of the season."
Yeah.
Smallville was always really good about, like, the first, before the opening credits, they would always do something ridiculous, like Clark Kent using his heat vision to evaporate a burst dam tsunami.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm sure that they have something equally as awesome planned for us.
Probably awesomer, because Smallville leaves a few things to be
Well, desired. but it's also Superman, which means that they had the ability to do things like evaporate water from a dam burst.
Yeah,
so, but I'm sure that they have something awesome planned that's going to blow our minds.
Cool.
And if they're going to do that 5 minutes into the first episode, imagine what the mid-season finale is going to be.
Oh,
like.
So good.
Right now, I'll say Ra's al Ghul mid-season finale.
Yeah, it's good.
That's my guess.
It's good. I'm most looking forward to seeing what they do and do not do with Felicity. it's something that just really, as her own character, I'm really intrigued by her, and with all the potentials for crossover and for her to be her own person. I guess because it's my thing that comes up with Felicity is that I don't want Felicity to be secondary to Oliver.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want her identity on the show to be always in his shadow.
Yeah.
I love it when she has her own agency.
Yeah.
And it's probably one of the reasons why I'm the most against the Felicity relationship.
Yeah.
Because I feel like she would always be a secondary. She'd be a secondary concern. She'd be a secondary person. She'd be a secondary just in so many things that are unfair to that character.
Yeah.
And I feel like she has so many places to go and so much growth still left in her. I love Brendan Routh, and I'm really excited to see what he brings to the show. So those two characters I want to watch. That's basically what I'm really excited for.
Cool.
So.
Cool. Yeah. Well, I think actually that's probably a good place to wrap it up.
Yeah.
So I will do that by first reminding you to go to teespring.com/quiverpodcast to get your t-shirt.
Yeah.
You have until October 15th to do so. So this is not the last time you're going to hear me plug it. Of course, you can also find us over on our website at www.quiverpodcast.com, on Facebook at facebook.com/quiverpodcast, and you can find a link to the group from there. And on Twitter at twitter.com/quiverpodcast or at quiverpodcast.
Yeah. And I want to thank all the brand new listeners that hopefully we're going to get for season 3. So if that's the
yes.
first one you're listening to, go back, listen to our old stuff, and we'll see you next week, hopefully, for our new regularly scheduled podcasting, where we will be watching, obviously, the premiere episode of season 3 of Arrow.
Super excited. Super
so
excited. And also go and check out Starkville Labs and the Flash podcast, because they're getting ready to tackle
the Flash.
The Flash podcast has been podcasting all summer.
Oh,
yeah.
Andy
has been podcasting with the Flash podcast since the show was announced.
Yeah,
I think before he showed up on Arrow.
Yeah,
the Flash
yeah.
podcast was a
yeah,
thing. So,
yeah.
And in fact, I think. I did an interview with Andy. I'm on one episode,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And we'll be doing stuff with him, as well as Starkville Labs with Stephen Derrick
cool.
in the future. So look forward to that. But check those guys out. Just give some of those other podcasts some love, as well as us.
Yeah, thanks for listening. If you want to talk to us individually, we both have social media. You can tweet me. I'm at aconkin, aKonkin.
And I am at Arkwulf, ArkWulf.
And we will see you next week.
Yes. See you guys next week.
Stay sharp, Arrowheads.